Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Ayin Aleph, and we left off with the Mishnah at the top of Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph. So the Mishnah today is going to be talking about what happens if you have a Nara Marasa who gets divorced, who makes a Neder, and then on the day that she makes a Neder, she gets divorced. And then she gets betrothed, she gets engaged, she has Kedushin with another man. So we're going to talk about who is given the authority to revoke her nedarim, whether it's aras achron, whether it's only aras rishon. In other words, if she takes a neder when she's engaged, when she has kedushin with a certain man, and then that person divorces her, and then ultimately she winds up being engaged to another guy, does that other Arus, who actually never heard the Neder, who was not her Arus when she made the Neder, does he have the ability to be Mayfair her Neder or not? And we're going to try to link this again to the Machlokas now that we've been discussing, or at least relating to, over the past couple of days, Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, as to the mechanic for the joint Hafara of a Baal and an Av, which is Megiz Gayiz O Miklash Kalash. And then the Gemara at the in the middle of Ayin Aleph Amud Aleph, which is a very small daf, poses a question that we'll get to, and then probably not get to the Rayas. We'll save those for tomorrow. But whether Gerushin is considered to be like Shtika. So in other words, we know that when a woman makes a neder, the Baal has a 24-hour period to be made for the neder, unless he's Mekayim the neder. We saw yesterday that once he's Mekayim the neder, then he's stuck. Then he can no longer be made for the neder, even within the 24 hours, because once there's a permanent Kiyam, there can no longer be a Hafara. But just generally speaking, assuming that the person doesn't take the action at either of the extremes, he's not Mekayim the neder, nor is he made for the neder. So the middle ground, which is the gray area here, is shtika. So let's say he's shosik. So we know that if a guy is shosik for 24 hours, once he has the shtika for 24 hours, he can no longer be made for the neder, because afara can only take effect within a 24-hour window. So the Gemara is going to say, what happens if he divorces the woman? So what happens if the woman makes a neder, and then he divorces her? So is that gerushin kishtika? Is that gerushin kishtika? Is it like a kiyam? Is it a symbol of the fact that he knows that he wants nothing to do with her, and once he divorces her, he doesn't care about the neder, or is it otherwise? So the Gemara will pose that question, and we'll see Raya's both ways most likely tomorrow. But anyway, starting with the Mishnah on Ayin Aleph, Amud Aleph, so says the Mishnah like this: Nadra v'hi arusa. So if she makes a neder while she's in arusa, nizgarsha bo bayom, and then she gets divorced from her kedushin, from her erusin, on that day, the day she makes a neder, and nizarsa bo bayom, and then she gets reengaged, she has another kedushin with another man on that day, afilo lemeya, even to 100 different men on this day. She's very indecisive, so she gets engaged, she has erusin, and then gerushin from erusin, 100 times even on the same day. And the Rishonim just say it appears that the Mishnah is discussing a B'dievet situation, because if we remember from what we learned in the last Masechta, Maseches Ksubos, there's a concept of Havchana. So the concept of Havchana mandates that if a woman gets divorced, and the Gemara winds up concluding even from Erusin, so if a woman gets divorced even from Erusin, Me'ikar Adin L'chatchila, she's supposed to wait a 3-month period in order to be Mavchin whether she's pregnant. And why is that an issue? Well, because it's an issue because if a woman gets divorced and then she remarries somebody right away and then she has a baby, she could have a baby, according to the Gemara, they didn't have 8-month pregnancies, but either 7 months, so let's say she had a baby 7 months later, so you don't know whether it's a 9-month pregnancy for the first husband or a 7-month pregnancy from the second husband. You don't know whose kid it is. So therefore, you require avchana. So obviously, what this woman here is not, she's not a model citizen, because she's not acting in accordance with the way we would prefer for her to act, which is to wait 3 months between a gerushin from an erusin and another erusin. But she did it. See, she was engaged. She had erusin. She was divorced, and then she got engaged to a different guy, even to 100 different guys. So what's the rule? Says the Mishnah, Avia ubalo ha'achron mafirin nidareha. Her father and the last baal and the last husband, in other words, the arus, at the time that the music stops, can jointly be mefer the neder. How can the arus ha'achron be mefer the neder if the arus ha'achron had nothing to do with the neder? The arus ha'achron was not in the picture when the neder was made, even though it was the same day, he wasn't in the picture. So the Ran says, because we have to remember all the concepts that we've been discussing over the past couple of days in this perek, that there is a rule that ein habal mefer bekodman, that the baal is not allowed to be mefer a neder that was made before he came into the picture, but an arus can be mefer bekodman. That an arus does have the ability to be mefer a neder that was made even before he came into the picture. And we saw at the last Thursday, why it is that the arus can be mefer bekodman, and the reason is because the arus is being made for the neder in shutfus with the father. And again, remember that with respect to the father, there is no such thing as kodman, because the father always has jurisdiction over the nedarim of the daughter. Therefore, there's no such thing as kodman legabe ha'av. And legabe the arus, who's made for in conjunction with av b'shutfus, there's also no such thing as kodman. So the Ran says this is based on the principle of ena of arus made for b'kodman, even though ena bal made for b'kodman. What the Ran also says is that it's apparent that the Mishnah is, from the fact that the Mishnah sets up this case, that we're talking where she had an erusin and a gerushin, and then subsequent erusin or erusins on the same day, it's obvious that the neder was heard by either the av or the original arus on that day. So again, another one of the concepts that we've been seeing is that once a neder is made, then the person, either the av, the baal, or both of them, in the case of an arus, have a 24-hour period within which to be made for the neder. But the 24-hour clock starts when they hear about the neder. So it's obvious, says the Ran, from the fact that the Mishnah sets up its case that on that day she was divorced and got re-engaged, and it's setting up a case that the Av and the Baal Achron can be made for the neder, that one of them, either the Av or the Baal, heard the neder on that day. Because if they didn't hear the neder on that day, then there would be no pressure to be made for the neder that day, because nobody heard of it. Conversely, because they did hear the neder on that day, now the 24-hour clock starts ticking, and it's very important that the neder be mufar on that day if it's going to be revoked. So says the Mishnah, so it finishes up, Zeaklal, Kol Shelo Yatsa L'Rishus Atzma Shah Achas, anybody who doesn't go into her own Rishus for even a minute, Avio Bala Achron Mafira Nedareh, then her father, in conjunction with the last Baal, with the last Arus, can be made for her nether. So what does it mean that she didn't go into her own Rishos for a minute? So the Ran says, in other words, that she didn't either have an Asuin or became a Bogeres. Because let's assume that she was engaged to one of these people, not only engaged, but then she actually got married to one of these people. And then she got divorced. And then she got engaged to a different guy, and whatever. So now the question is, would the second Arus be able to be Mefer Nedarim jointly with a father? The answer is no. Because she would have been Yotze Mershus Ha'av, she would have been a Nichnas Lershus Atzma Shah Achas. Because once she gets married, the father loses jurisdiction over her. Similarly, if she would have been engaged, and then she would have become a Bogeres, and then she would have gotten a divorce from that engagement, she would have gotten divorced from that Erusin, then she would not have gone back into the Rishos of the father, because just like Nisuin removes her from the Rishos of the father, so too a Bagrus, the status of Bagrus, of that level of maturity, also removes her from the jurisdiction of the father. And once the father loses jurisdiction, then the arus can only be mefer with the av when the av retains jurisdiction. So the Mishnah says that the reason that Avio Bala Achron can be mefer her darim here is because she never entered her own jurisdiction for even a minute. Because the whole time she was bouncing back and forth between the joint jurisdiction of the av and the baal, and the sole jurisdiction of the Av, because whenever she would get divorced from her Erusin, she went right back to going into the jurisdiction of the Av, because she never had a Nisuin, and she never became a Bokeres. So says the so that's the klal that the Mishnah says at the end. So says the Gemara like this: So minolan da aris achron mefer nedarim sheniru la aris rishon. How do we know that the aris achron can be mefer nedarim that the aris rishon saw? In other words, that were made under the aris rishon's watch. So that were made before the aris achron came into the picture. Amar Shmuel. So says Shmuel. Amar Kra. The pasuk says, "V'him ha'yo siyela ish unudarea alea." It says, "V'him ha'yo siyela ish unudarea alea." What does it mean when it says "nidareha aleha"? Nidarim shahayu aleha kvar. It means that the baal, the arus, can be made for nidarim, even nidareha alea. Which means not only nedarim that become aleha during the erusin, but nedarim that were aleha even before the erusin began. So says the Gemara, well, Dilma hani mili shilaniru l'arus rishon, avol nedarim sheniru l'arus rishon l'matzi mefer arus achron, l'mefer arus achron. Well, maybe this is only legabe nedarim that were not fit for hafara by the previous aris, because let's say he had never heard of them. But let's say nedarim that were fit for hafara by a previous aris, because let's say she had an erusin with man A. Man A heard of the neder, could have been mefer in conjunction with the baal for a 24-hour period, but then they got divorced from the erusin, and then she took an erusin with man B. How do we know that man B could be made for that neder jointly? Because it was mamash chazi lahafara by the first arus. So maybe he can't revoke it. Says the Gemara, no, we're not going to make this distinction, because alea kroyeserahu. Alea is a kroyesera, and from the kroyesera of alea, what we learn is that the koach of the arus achron to be mefer the nedarim that she has previously on her jointly with a baal applies not only to nedarim that the first arus never heard about, but even nedarim that the first arus did hear about and could have theoretically revoked. If he didn't revoke them, the arus achron has the power to revoke them in conjunction with the baal. So Tanya Kavasei de Shmuel. So we're gonna bring now a raya to Shmuel. So Shmuel was the Amora who just gave over this halacha. If Amayosiela ish that nedarim shayu alea kvar. So the Ron explains that Shmuel had a tradition. We established that the case in the Mishnah had to be dealing with a case where somebody heard about the neder on the day it was made, right? And that's why it was important that the neder be revoked on that day, and that's why the Mishnah set up the case of the woman who bounces back and forth between even 100 aruses on that day. It all has to take place on that day, because the case is somebody heard it on that day. And the neder that was heard on that day has to be mufer on that day. So Shmuel had a tradition that who was it who heard about the neder on that day? It wasn't the Av, it was the first Arus. Now, if you want to say that it was the first Arus who heard about the neder on that day, then it's obvious, it's implicit in the Shita of Shmuel, that the Arus Achron could be mefer even nedarim that were heard by the Arus Rishon. Because we said in the Mishnah that Bala va'Arus Achron, Bala Achra, that Avio, Bala Achra, Mafirin nedarea. And if Shmuel is going to have a tradition, if Shmuel is going to have a Mesorah, that which of the Av and the Baal heard the Neder, it was the Arus who heard the Neder, it was the Baal who heard the Neder, then Memele comes out that according to Shmuel, that when we say Avio Bala Akrama Firin Dareha, that the Bala Akron can be Mefer Nedarim, even that were heard by the Baal Rishon, because we have to set up the case that one of them heard it. And the one who heard it, according to Shmuel, is Bala Rishon and not the Av. So says the Gemara like this. So Tani Kavasi to Shmuel, we're going to bring a raya to Shmuel. Nara Amarasa, if you have a Nara Amarasa, Ovia Ubala Mefira Nidarea, then her father and her Arus can be made for her Nidarim. So Ketzad, how does this work? So Shema Ovia Vehefrila, if the father heard about the Nether and was made for the Nether, Lo Hispe Kabala Shmoa Adshemes, and the Baal did not have the opportunity, he never heard about the Nether until he died, Vinis Arsa Bobayom, and she then gets engaged to another person, she then has Erusin with another person, Vaafilu Meyapamim, and even 100 times, Avio Bala Achron Mafira Nidarea. Then the father and the Bala Achron can be Mefer her Nidarim. This is Divrei Akola, right? So it's important to keep these cases straight in our minds. So over here was a case where the girl was engaged, so the father and the Arus had co-jurisdiction over the Nedarim. The father heard about the Neder and was Mefer his part. The Arus never heard about the Neder and then died. And then she gets engaged again. So on that same day, we now have a new Arus in the picture who has the ability to be Mefer the Neder with Shutfus of the father. So it's Avio Bala Achron Mefira Nidarea. Now the father, of course, was already made for the Nether. He was already made for his chelik of the Nether. So then says like this. However, Shama Bala Vehefirla, if the husband heard about the Nether and was made for the Nether, Velo Hispika Avlishmoa Achemes Habal. And the father never hears about the Neder until such time as the Baal dies. Then Choser Ha'av Umafer Chelko Shel Baal. Then the father can go back and he can be made for the Chelek, and it can be made for the Chelek of the Baal. In other words, the Ran says, what happens here? That the father goes back and can now revoke the Neder entirely on his own without the second Arus. Why? Because even though the first Arus revoked his chelik of the Neder, because again this was a case of Shama Bala Vehefirla, but then the first Arus died. This is the concept that we've been dealing with over the past couple of days of Nisrokna, that the whole koach of the Baal to be made for the Nedarim transfers over to the father. Now, if the koach of the Baal to be made for Nedarim transfers over to the father, then we don't need the second Arus to be in the picture in order to permit the Av to be made for her Nedarim b'shutfus, because the Av doesn't require the shutfus of the second Baal. The Av can be made for the Neder totally on his own through the concept of Nisrokna. Now the Ran says that although the first Arus was Mefer his Chelek of the Neder, the Av has to repeat and revoke the Baal's Chelek a certain time. Why? Because another concept that we've seen over the past couple of days, says the Ran, is that Hafara causes the Misa causes the Hafara to be undone. Misa nullifies and voids the Hafara that the Baal already did. So basically, the Ran comes out like this. We have a case where the girl was engaged, she made a Neder, her Arus heard about the Neder and revoked the Neder and then died. Now, on account of the concept of Nisrokna, the Koach of the Baal to be made for the Neder now transfers over to the Av, so the Av is now going to have sole jurisdiction. The Av, however, has to go and be made for the Chelek of the Baal again. Why? The Baal already did his Afara. So the answer is, says the Ran, because his Afara was nullified when he died. So the Av has to go be made for the Chelek of the Baal again. Now the Ran says it goes without saying that the Av also has to be made for his Chelek, because certainly the Av, when we say Nisrokna, the Av can take care of the Chelek of the Baal, but he has to take care of his Chelek as well. So it turns out that he'll be made for his Chelek, and he has to go again and be made for the Chelek of the Baal, because the Afara of the Baal was undone, it was voided by his death. But this is not a Divrei HaKol now. So Amar Rav Nosson, so says Rav Nosson, Hein Hein Divrei Beis Shammai. Well, that is Beis Shammai's view. That is Beis Shammai's view that the av can be made for the entire neder without the assistance of the second arus, because we'll see in a second why. However, the Ran says that the first part of this brisa, which was where the father hears about the neder and was made for the neder, and it's the Baal who never heard about the neder before he died, then it's avio bala achron mefir nederea, that's universally accepted. The machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel is going to be only in what happens if it's the husband who hears about the neder and is made for it, and then the father never heard about the neder, now the husband dies, now the question is who's made for the neder? Only the father? Or the father and the Aras Achron. So Rav Nosson says, Beis Shammai's view is this second view in the Brisa, that the father's mayfair, his chelik and the chelik of the Baal. Aval Beis Hillel omrim, ein yachal lahafer, that Beis Hillel says that the father cannot be mayfair the neder. What does it mean that the father can't be made for the nether? Of course the father can be made for the nether, at least b'shutfus. The Ran says, yeah, that's what it means. Beis Hillel says that the father can only be made for the nether with, in conjunction with the Aros Achron. So when it says Eina Baal Yachal Hafer, it means Eina Baal Yachal Hafer below Aros Achron. That the Baal can be made for the neder only with the Aros Achron. And this supports the Shita of Shmuel, who says that the later Aros has the authority to be made for Nedarim, even that came under the jurisdiction of the first Aras. Again, the Shita of Shmuel was that, with the Shita of Shmuel, that was that when it says in the Pasuk, Nedarea Alea, Imho Yosi Yela Ish Unedarea Alea, that when we say in the Mishnah the rule that if the girl's an Aras and then she takes a Neder and then gets divorced, then Avia Bala Akram Afira Nedarea, that applies not only to Nedarim that the first Aras never heard, but even if the first Aras heard them and achieved some sort of jurisdiction over the Neder, if he's then out of the picture, ultimately it's the father and the last Aras who have the koach to be made for the Neder. Even a Durim that the first Aras heard. How do we know? We know from this Brisa, because this Brisa supports that Shita. Why? Because according to Beis Hillel, what happened here? According to Beis Hillel, the halacha is like this. You have a girl who is engaged. She takes a neder. The first husband hears the neder and revokes the neder. And then he dies. And then she gets engaged to a second Aras. So the Shita of Beis Shammai was that only the father can be made for the Nedarim. But the Shita of Beis Hillel was that the father, in conjunction with the Aras Achron, is made for Nedarim. This is a Neder that the Aras Rishon heard. Not only did he hear it, he actually revoked it. But his revocation was undone when he died. Is a raya that when we say that the Baal and the Aras Achron are made for, that the Av and the Aras Achron are made for Nedarim B'shutfis, it applies not only to Nedarim that the Aras Rishon didn't hear, but even to Nedarim that the Aras Rishon did hear. Okay, so that's a raya, says the Gemara to the Shita of Shmuel. So what are we arguing about over here? In the second case of the Brisa, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing, what's the yesod of the argument? Again, the first case of the Brisa, nobody argued. The first case of the Brisa, it was where she took the neder, and it was the father who heard about the neder and revoked the neder, and the husband died. In the second case of the Brisa, she took the neder, and it was the husband who heard about the neder and revoked the neder, and then the husband died. So says the Gemara, they're arguing about the following. Now, in Ayin Hayam at Beis, so Ayin Aleph and Beis, rather, so Beis Shammai Savri, Nidarim Nami Sheroi Le'oros Nisrokna Rishus La'av Umegas Gayis. So Beis Shammai says that Nidarim that were also Roi to the Arus, we apply the concept of Nisrokna, so the Koach to be made for the Nidarim is going to go over to the father Umegas Gayis. And when the first Arus revoked his portion, he totally chopped his portion in half. So let's pause over there. So what does that mean? So again, you see over here, we have unfortunately a seven line Amud and a ton of Ran. So you know it's going to be a little bit complicated. So we'll try to explain it. So the Ran says that when the first Arus revoked his half of the Neder, according to Beis Shammai, it was Megas Gaius. So his hafara totally chopped the nether in half and did away, it annulled his entire chelik of the nether. 50% of the nether, totally gone. All right? And so his jurisdiction over the neder, terminated. Okay? Now, and again, we wouldn't say this according to the Ma'an de'Amar who says Miklash Kolosh, because according to Miklash Kolosh, it's not that 50% of the neder is totally gone, it's that the entirety of the neder is weakened. But now, sticking now, for now, with the Shita of Beshama, he says, make his guy is, so again, she made a neder, the Baal heard about the neder, he was mefer. When he was mefer the neder, 50% of the neder, totally gone. Therefore, when the Aras dies, and his Afara is nullified, so then the jurisdiction over the renewed chelek of the neder falls entirely to the father. Why? Because the orus's portion of the neder has been megas gayas and is not inherited by the second orus, because and is not inherited by the second orus, because there's nothing to be inherited by the second Arus. According to Beis Shammai, once you have Megas Gayas, there is no more Arus Chelek. In other words, the way Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are now going to approach this, it's a little bit of a strange concept, but when they're going to view it like this, when a woman who's an Arus takes a neder, they're going to view it as there being an Av Chelek to the neder and a Baal Chelek to the neder. And usually the Av Chelek, the Av and the Baal have to act jointly in order to cause a hafara, a total revocation of the Av Chelek and the Baal Chelek. But what Beis Shammai is saying now is when the Baal hears the neder and revokes the neder, the Baal Chelek is totally done. There is no more Baal Chelek because his hafara cuts off 50% of the neder, his Chelek is done. Now, it is true that Misa annuls a hafara, but the question is, what happens with his chelek now? So according to Beis Shammai, we're going to apply the concept of Nisrokna to say that it goes to the father. Why doesn't it go to the second husband? Because according to Beis Shammai, there is no more Baal chelek of the neder, because the Baal chelek was totally annulled when he did his hafara. Misa causes a revocation of hafara, but the whole mitzias, the whole concept of a Baal Chelek of the neder totally went away when he did his hafara before he died, because Megas Gayas. So even though the hafara is nullified, we're not going to spring it back, and we're not going to spring the jurisdiction back to the second Arus, because the whole Baal portion of the Chelek, the Baal portion of the neder totally terminated. So
that piece that goes back and straight to the is not viewed anymore as
a Baal Chelek. It's viewed now as an Av portion. That's exactly right. That's why according to Beis Shammai, so the Ran, part of what he deals with over here, does this mean that the Ran disagrees with what Shmuel says? Because remember, Shmuel said that Aviyah Ubala Achron Mefira Nedareh. So does this mean that Beis Shammai is going to disagree with the concept, is going to disagree with Shmuel's halacha in total? Because what Beis Shammai says here is that the father can revoke the neder entirely by himself. So the Ran says, no, Beis Shammai is not going to disagree. Beis Shammai will agree with Shmuel where the first Baal was never mefer his chelek. Okay? So if the first Baal died before being mefer his chelek, then he'll agree, because then there's still a Baal portion, because it was never Megas Gai is the total Baal portion. It's only where over here, where he was made for the Baal portion, and Megas Gai is where Beis Shammai is going to view it as if there is no more Baal Chelek anymore. So on account of the concept of Nisrokna, it's going to go all the way over to the father, and the father could take care of everything. But Beis Hillel, what did Beis Hillel say? Beis Hillel says the father can't act alone. Beis Hillel Savri Avia Obala Akron Mefirin Adarea. Beis Hillel holds like Shmuel, even in a case where the first husband heard about the nether and revoked it, because he holds Lo Megas Gayas. Beis Hillel says that we're not going to apply the principle of Megas Gayas. Rather, we're going to apply the principle of Miklash Kolosh. So again, the Ran explains over here that Beis Hillel holds that Shmuel's halacha of Aviyah Bala Achram and Mefiru Nedareah applies even when the first Arus previously revoked the Neder, because the hafara of the first Arus doesn't chop away half the Neder entirely. it weakens the entire neder, and it remains an incomplete hafara until it's combined with the subsequent hafara of the father, at which point the two hafaros can combine. So miklash kolosh, not megas gaya. So what happens is like this. When the first aris dies, his act of revocation was incomplete. There was an incomplete act of hafara because we're going to say miklash kolosh. So in other words, there's still a baal portion of the neder that will be inherited by the second aris. Because it's not like negas gai is where we're going to totally do away with the baal portion. It's miklash kolosh. It weakens the entire neder, but there's still an av portion and a baal portion extant until they combine and their mayfair the neder. So when the first aris dies, his act of revocation is incomplete, and the second aris is going to assume jurisdiction over this, and the av therefore has to be mayfair jointly with the second aris, which is the shita of Shmuel. So again, according to Beis Hillel, Shmuel's halacha will apply whether the first husband heard about and revoked the neder or not. So the Ran then asks like this. So this lechora might be at odds with the brisa. So there's a potential contradiction here between the first case of the brisa where the father heard about the nether and revoked the nether, and then the first aris dies. What did we say? We said according to Divrei Hakol that the father can then be made for the nether alone. Okay, again, that's where the father heard about it, and
that was the quintessential case of Mishrok. That was like the first case. In that,
right. Well, exactly. So that was the case of Nisrokna. But what this tells us is that the power to revoke an insubstantial neder, it was not quite the first case of Nisrokna. I think it might have been the third case of Nisrokna. It might have been the third case of Nisrokna because the case over here was that Shema Aviyah Vehefer La Velo Hisfik Habal Lishmoa Ad Shemes. Now remember, we discussed the concept of there being a weakened neder and the idea that a weakened neder can't be transferred, that only a strong neder can be transferred from Rishus to Rishus and not a weakened neder. So the Kasha is, so the Ran says that this Brisa implies that even a weakened neder, even an insubstantial neder, can be transferred, because what we say over here in the first case of the Brisa is that the Av can be made for the entire neder. But the Brisa on Samech Tes says that an insubstantial neder can't be transferred. So how do you reconcile this Brisa with the Brisa on Samech Tes? So the Ran says like this. The Ran says that the two situations aren't comparable at all. Why? Because on Daf Samech Tes, what we were saying? We were saying was that the insubstantial neder cannot be transferred from the Aris domain to the domain of the Av. So you can't transfer domains. However, over here there's no transfer of domain. Moshe, you asked a good question. You corrected me because the kasha was not on the first part of the brisa. The first part of the brisa was a quintessential case of Nisrokna. The question is how can the second baal take the portion of the first baal? That's the steer. The steer is how can it take the portion of the first baal? The first baal already did afara. Isn't that a weakened neder that can't be transferred over to the second baal? Very good. Thank you. How can the weakened portion of the neder be transferred over to the second baal? I thought you told me on Daf Samech Tes that a weakened neder can't be transferred. So the Ran says, you're right. I did tell you that a weakened neder can't be transferred, but a transfer is only something that goes from the rishus of one person to the rishus of another person. Here, it's in the rishus baal, and it's staying in the rishus baal. The second baal just steps into the shoes of the first baal and takes his koach to be made for the neder. That's why it's not... That's why there's no stira between this case and the case on Samech Tes. So anyway, so we have this brisa like Shmuel. We wanted to pin it on a machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel explain the brice of Shmuel a little bit. So let's just read to the end of the Amud. So Iboilu. So now the Gemara is going to pose a question here on, and it gets a lot easier. So Gerushin Kishtika Dami Oka Kama Dami. So if the guy divorces his arus or divorces his wife. And he heard about her neder, and then he divorces her. So is the divorce like shtika? Is it simply like silence? Or is it like a kiyum? Or is it like a kiyum? Why would it be like a kiyum? So the Ran says, because when the guy divorces his wife, what's he doing? He's saying that I know I am never ever going to have jurisdiction to be made for my wife's nedarim, because I could only be made for my wife's nedarim so long as she's my wife. So if I'm divorcing her, I'm being motzi her from my rishus, I'm never going to have the koach to be made for her nedarim anymore, and therefore maybe it functions like a de facto kiyum. So what's the nafkamina? So kagon shenodra, let's say it's like she takes a neder, v'shama baila v'girsha, and the husband hears about it and then divorces her, v'hadre b'yome, and then he remarries her on that day. So, and then he remarries her on that day. So the Ron points out, we have to be talking about a case where the guy remarries her on that day, because if he remarried her the next day, it's pashut that he wouldn't be able to be made for her nedarim anymore. Why? Because what did the Braisa tell us? The Braisa told us, Shama Bala Vigirsha. He heard about the neder on day one. So if he would divorce her and then remarry her on day two, he already lost his 24 hours to be made for the neder. But it's within the 24-hour period. He takes her back. Now the question is going to be, can he be made for her nedarim? The Ron also points out, l'chora, we could set this brice up like the brice that we were dealing with the whole shiur of, and the case that the Mishnah was dealing with, where not that he took her back, maybe somebody else took her back. So the Ron says, yeah, but you know what we're talking about is milsa d'shchicha, that generally the case is that, unlike by Erison, when you're getting divorced from a nisuin, if you have somebody who's actually going to take her in nisuin on the same day, it's probably your first husband who's going to take her back and realize that he acted rashly when he divorced her. But who adin, the same thing would apply if somebody else married her on that day. But the case is like this: the nafkamina is she took a neder, the husband heard about it, he divorced her, and then he takes her back on that day. So iam ramar kishtika dami. So if you want to say that gerushin is kishtika, then masi meferla, then he could be made for an adarim. Viam ramar kakama dami lo masi meferla. But if you want to say that the gerushin functions like a hakama, functions like a kiyum, because in the gerushin he's assuming and he's acting as if he's never going to again have the ability to be made for an adarim, then it's going to turn out like a kiyum. And even if he ultimately is going to wind up assuming co-jurisdiction over her again, he's still not going to be made for an adarim because maybe the gerushin will be like a kiyum and not only like a shtika. So so the Gemara is going to bring rayas to prove one way or another. We'll pick up from the top of Ayin Beis Amud Aleph and these rayas tomorrow, God willing.